Our topic for the morning is the question, gifts to keep or share. Of course, it comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and which talks about gifts given to the followers of Christ by the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to listen to Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 12. I'll be reading verses 4 through 12. I invite you to listen for the word of God. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's hard to believe, but Christmas was just a month ago? And surely during that time you purchased a gift or made a gift to give to someone. You gave gifts. And also, surely you probably received a gift from someone. Well, an online blogger shares, have you ever searched for a gift, found it, given it a lot of thought, finally arrived at what you think is the perfect gift for that special someone? And then you are excited, you present it to them with a smiling face, and they reach out their arms and accept it. But then instead of opening it, they open a drawer or a closet and put it on a shelf and say, someday I'll open it, but not now. Of course, that's kind of a silly parable, isn't it? Who would really do such a thing? No one under the age of 12, that's for sure. Children love gifts, and their innate curiosity and openness and willingness haven't been damped down yet. But what happens to us later? How ready, willing, and able are we to receive gifts, especially when these gifts come from God? And more importantly, how ready, willing, and able are we to use them? Paul's letter to the church in Corinth reveals a community which is experiencing no small amount of division, of conflict. Division has arisen, like churches today, and for that matter, other institutions, businesses, even families. There has arisen conflict, pettiness, bickering, rivalry. There was conflict over whom to follow. Should we follow Paul, or should we follow Peter, or should we follow Apollos, who was an eloquent speaker? What about worship, styles of worship, and especially speaking in tongues? Well, we don't have time to go into great detail about the nature of the conflict other than to gloss over it as I just have, but suffice it to say that it was the typical type of conflict which seemingly arises whenever you put a group of people together. And this community was beginning to fracture, to splinter. And in the midst of this conflict, Paul senses that something important is getting lost. So he writes this letter, a far-reaching letter, wherein the apostle diagnoses the situation and provides the remedy. He does so by taking the Corinthians back to the basics. And he asks the question, which he answers, why is God giving out gifts anyway? Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see, Paul is reminding these early Christians that there is a deeper reality uniting them than there are forces dividing them. And I hope you noticed the contrasts, which oddly bring about balance. One Spirit, many gifts. One Lord, many ways to serve. One God, many activities. One, many. Paul is gazing at the situation of a fractured community, a group of people who have grown accustomed to identifying themselves by the ways in which they are distinct or different or better. And instead of focusing on what divides them or on what differentiates them one from another, he is urging them to recognize what unites them. And what unites them, he says, is God. This is why Paul rejects the camp of Paul. You're not supposed to follow me. Just as he rejects the camps of Peter and Apollos, he wants for the people one camp, the camp of God, the camp of Christ. And then notice, though, where Paul takes the conversation. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, he writes. The gifts, the talents, the abilities that God gives us, you see, are not solely for our use or personal satisfaction. Rather, they are meant to be for the good of the community, the good of all. You see, the Corinthians have been thinking of the gifts God gave them in terms of the status they confer upon them. That seals it. They're humans just like us, right? If we look around us today, we see that in our culture as well, certain gifts certainly do seem to engender admiration, respect. We admire beauty. We respect talent. We are impressed by eloquence. But in this passage, we are invited to learn a new way of looking at gifts. You see, the true measure of our gifts is not how rare they are or how impressive they are. The true measure of our gifts is how they are used. Friends, nothing is more beautiful than seeing someone use their gifts in service to others. A teacher mentoring a student. An individual using his or her gift of personality to hospitably welcome people, the stranger. Nothing is more beautiful than witnessing a community of faith using its gifts for the good of the community in which it lives. You know, I think of Stephen ministers. They go through training. They hone their gifts, learning the art of listening, inviting God to work through them in healing. And it happens. You can see it in their face. You can hear it in their voices. They're excited. They use their gifts and their training, and they find it is needed, and it feels good. This is what it feels like to use one's gifts for the common good. It brings life. Friends, what gifts has God given to you that you can bring to bear? Maybe you can bring your monetary gifts. Maybe you can bring your wisdom. Maybe you can bring your muscle to help. Maybe you can bring your gift of hospitality or experience. The possibilities are endless. But there's a gift. Rather than putting that gift in the drawer or on a shelf in a closet, we have to unwrap those gifts and decide that we will use them for the common good. The story is kind of a take on the parable of the talents. Three pelicans were flying to a popular lake, and as they traveled, they were each lost in thought. The first pelican thought to himself, "I love my beak. No other bird has a beak quite like mine. It's magnificent. When I get to the lake, I'm going to parade along the bank, showing off my beautiful beak, and all of the other birds will be jealous." Well, the second pelican thought to itself, well, I love my beak and I want to protect it. I can't afford for it to get damaged, so I'm going to only catch small fish in shallow waters. I know that I can do more, but it's far too risky. And the third pelican thought, similarly to the others, I love my beak. It's a beauty, and I'm going to push the limits, push it to the limits and get the most out of it. I'm going to become the best catcher of fish in the lake. I've been given this beak for a reason, so I'm going to work hard and catch the biggest fish out there. Friends, we've all been given unique talents, experiences, and attributes for a reason. Not to show off that we have them, to prance along the seashore, not to do the bare minimum with them, to stay in the shallow water, but to develop them fully and use them to their maximum capacity. During our time on earth, we have been charged to develop the natural gifts and capabilities with which God has blessed us. You see, God searches and searches for just the right gift for each of us. God brings all the wisdom of the ages to bear. God knows us intimately and knows the circumstances of our lives. And at last, God settles on it. God gives us a particular gift or talent or an opportunity. Now, this gift may not be exactly what we were expecting, but God knows we will be able to use it to bring joy not only to ourselves, but to the world around us. And as we exercise and magnify these gifts, we find we are able to meet the challenges and responsibilities that come into our lives. That's one of the beauties of Christianity. As we use our God-given gifts, more and more blessings pour into our lives. For nothing makes God happier than seeing a woman, a man, a youth, a community living into the gifts by which it has been blessed. The true measure of our gifts is not how rare they are or how impressive they are. The true measure of our gifts is how they are used. Let's covenant to use the gifts God has given to us to His glory, to benefit the common good. That, my friends, is our calling. Let us pray. Oh God, in this fractured and divided world, help us to remember that underlying those divisions is a commonality. There is more that unites us than divides. Help us to find that unity that makes us one in Christ. And we thank you for gifts. We thank you for bestowing upon us various talents, abilities, aptitudes, interests, passions. May we use them for your glory, to benefit those with whom you have put in our path. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.